This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, what's happening, man? We got a lot to do today. Let's hit it. Tiki and Tierney, let's go. Coming in from the Rocket Mortgage Studio with every bowl and every score change during Super Bowl 55. Somebody wants $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free. RocketMortgageSquares.com. Oh, man. I mean, news is happening. Games are happening. Doug Peterson out. National championship tonight.
You ready for him to be a head coach, BT?
I'm not starting the show that way. I'm not going to do that to America. We'll get to Doug Peterson coming up around later in the show.
Hour from now, I'm going to torture BT to the point where he might quit the show in the middle of it.
You know, Dez gets up the X. This is my X to just redirect that venom right back to you, pal. Impenetrable. You can't get me worked up today. Listen, football was awesome this weekend.
Oh, it was amazing.
Football,
dude,
was great.
No, that's a lie. I knew I was going to enjoy six wild card games. I don't know why they haven't done this sooner, BT.
Because it was phenomenal.
It was a lot of football, and it was all meaningful. It wasn't like, that game we don't got to really pay attention to. Yeah, yep. It was all amazing. And most everybody, except for the Steelers, came to play.
Mm-hmm. And it started well, too. The Colts and the Bills, it's not like you had to sit through a snoozer to get some stuff. Like, right away, it's like, why don't play the game now? You know, Rivers chucked it a couple of yards short, and we'll squeeze into all the games as we get a little deeper into the show. We want to certainly start with the Browns and the Steelers last night, which, you know, for my money, when you factor in this playoff drought, which goes back to the mid-90s, this extended playoff, a city that lost their team, right? A team, the Browns, that's owned by the team that they dumped on last night. Steelers own them. The fact they hadn't practiced in about 6 days or so, the fact that their head coach was isolated, wasn't even there. You know, I know what happened with Frank Reich, the crazy comeback. There's been some crazy playoff games and performances. But take for my money, when you factor in those five or six variables I just said, when you factor in the start of the game, the first play,
yeah,
an errant snap. By the way, feeble effort by Ben. Get on the dirt. Get yourself dirty.
We crushed Cam Newton in the Super Bowl, and it defined Cam Newton really for the next 3 years.
Yep.
Nobody's saying much about Ben Roethlisberger because his legacy is intact. He's a Super Bowl champion a couple times over.
Yep.
He's an all-timer.
He's
a Hall of Famer.
So he doesn't have to get dirty.
Yeah,
nonsense.
But you dive on the football, man. He kind of just watched it.
Did he just watch it? He actually got out of the way. If
yes.
You watched that closely.
Yes.
He kind of circled it. He looked around. He said, I ain't getting involved
in
this.
Exactly. What do you guys want to come get this? Hey, Pouncey, you just snapped this thing 30 miles over my head. You want to come grab this thing? Even though Pouncey was still standing there as well without moving a muscle.
It was ugly. And then, of course, they just kept going. 7, 14, 21, 28 picks and touchdowns. And Kareem Hunt running through seemingly a bus to get to the end zone. All of these things, Teak, I honestly believe, plus the shock value of how it started. Last night, the Browns win to me is the most memorable, amazing playoff win of all time.
All time.
That's how I view last night.
Wow.
All time.
I mean, if you want to take in the history of the Browns, I guess you could make that argument.
Part of it.
All time. And
They hadn't won since 95.
Okay.
They lost their team. Their head coach has COVID, wasn't there. They couldn't walk in the building to practice for 6 days. They're playing their hated rival who owns them. And they drop a 28 spot, which, by the way, ties a playoff record for most points ever scored in a quarter. And they do that to the Steelers on national TV? Most memorable performance. That was... Well, Collinsworth couldn't even verbalize what he was watching.
Unless
him and, they're like, if you're new to football, at one point he says, if you're new to football, I don't know if you realize how crazy this is. No, we're not, but we still realize.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, though, they were gifted a bunch of those points.
So
I know, I'm just saying, they were gifted some points and they took advantage of it. And the Steelers finally found a way to play competent football. Yes, I give the Browns credit, because it's not easy to just fall on a football in the end zone. It's not easy to get an interception on the next series and be up of a 14-point lead at the beginning against a team that's had your number. I mean, what has it been, 17 straight times they won at Heinz Field?
17 in Pittsburgh, 17.
17 straight times. So even if you're fighting a nonsense narrative, you're still fighting that narrative. It's not easy to do those things, mm-hmm. but they did it. But to me, and I'll go, I want to hit the Steelers real quick before we give the kudos to the Browns.
Yep, I got something for them too. Go ahead.
You know, this season started out like, man, this might be the best Steelers team we've ever seen. Good offense. Ben looks healthy. Their defense is top-notch, and they're 11-0. And all of a sudden, Mike Tomlin's coach of the year, and everybody who – any naysayer over the last half a decade about Mike Tomlin can go eat it right now, right? And then they had this performance, BT, where maybe it was age. I mean, Big Ben – Pouncey, these guys are a little bit older. Maybe it was a lack of a running game that's been a thorn in their side all season long. Like the third down that James Conner didn't get, right? He came up just a half an inch short. That's like situational awareness, right? Go get a yard. As soon as he came up a yard short, this is with the punt. They punted. Mm-hmm. And then
which is the wrong move, by the way.
Of course. But then the Browns go back and they score, and all of a sudden it's 21-0. As soon as he came a yard short, I said, they're not getting this first down. This is going to act the other way. All of those things pointed. This team was not ready to play in this postseason game. They weren't playing. And as much as I can put it on all of those things that I just mentioned, this is on Mike Tomlin as well. You have to teach and preach urgency. Mm-hmm. And it clearly was not there. Otherwise, how does a vet, two vets, Mark Pouncey and Ben Roethlisberger, make that egregious of an error to start a football game, right? And be safe. I don't care how much better you think you are than the team that you're playing. Mm-hmm. Start smart, man. Start smart. Don't start stupid. And that's what they did, and it ended up costing them. And before you knew it, they were out of the game before the game even started.
Teak, yeah, I didn't know you were going there. It's funny. When you said you wanted to get something on the Steelers, this is where I was going to go. They looked utterly, not only unprepared, they seemingly lacked. I want to stay in my lane because I'm sure they wanted to play hard and play well.
Yeah.
But at least what transferred through my TV set last night was a team that was not prepared, was not motivated, and quite frankly, for too long a stretches of the game, didn't seem as if they had an issue with the fact that they were getting their asses kicked.
That's right.
On national TV.
Yeah, the touchdown.
To their rival, to a divisional foe.
Look,
didn't care.
The touchdown that Kareem Hunt had, where he, what was it, 12-yard or whatever.
That's all 30, I had to see.
Right? He got a 6-yard line. He dragged,
all we had to see.
He dragged three guys into the end zone. I mean, who wants it more?
That's all we had to see.
And I think he knew early who wanted it more. Now, you give the Steelers some credit. They went on a 16-0 run, and they brought it, somewhat close, got it to 23-35. Mm-hmm. But then this is where you shift the credit back to the Browns, because the previous Brown team, it doesn't matter when it was, could have been
pick a year,
it doesn't matter,
pick a coach,
having those same advantages that they started this year, a previous Brown team finds a way to collapse, right?
Yeah. I think every team probably does that,
because
you get
comfortable, right? You're just all right, we got this in hand. All we got to do is not mess it up. And as soon as you start thinking that, that's when you end up losing it. And so to respond after that 16-0, you know, point run by the Steelers with that 40. It was just an easy little check down, mm-hmm. you know, 40-yard run by Nick Chubb, and all of a sudden it feels like this thing is happening. I give them a ton of credit because it feels like that's easy, but it's not easy when it feels easy as it was to start the game for the Browns.
Well, I think that's an important point because I personally don't know what's tougher for a team with no collective playoff experience to come in, you know, on the road in a building that has just, you know, thwarted the dreams. Let's face it, basically every stadium's thwarted the dreams of Browns yeah. fans over the years, but specifically that one, what is it, 17, 18, 18 yeah. straight, whatever it is, to be that prepared to play, given the circumstances that we all know, you know, led up to the game, and jump out to a 28-0 lead, or to have the resilience to make sure, you know, you take it on the chin a couple of times and they rip off a 16-0 run. And again, collectively not have the experience to lean on together as a in the playoffs to be able to navigate the emotions invariably that set in when you feel your lead is threatened, which it was.
Yeah.
So, I mean, those are two very different set of emotions, and they handle them great. And the bottom line is this with Pittsburgh, and you said it, and we've said it on the show for a long time. No balance.
Yeah.
The defensive injuries eventually crushed them.
That's right.
And Teek, when you look at, and it's not just last night, you know, you look back, the Washington game, Big Ben mm-hmm. threw it 53 times. They ran it 14. The game against the Bills, they lost. That was week 14. The next game, Ben threw it almost 40 times. They ran it 17 times. The inability to get some sort of balance. I don't mean 70-30 or 65, but just so it's not like 90-10.
Yeah. Yeah,
that
guy's right.
throwing 60 times. He looks like he's 50.
I mean, he literally did. 68
times. He looks like he's 50.
He did look bad.
He looks old.
60, I don't even know what this ratio is. 16 out of 84 plays were run plays. 16 out of 84.
20, it's a little, it's around 23%.
Well, there you go.
In the neighborhood. I don't
there
know
you go. Quick, 80, 80, 20. That's not a good ratio.
It's horrible.
And here's the other thing.
And part of it is they fell behind early. You abandoned the run,
of course,
to be fair. But still, this is not a one game occurrence.
Yeah.
It's plagued them really since the middle of the season.
That's right.
19%,
BT. 19%.
19%.
19 is terrible. Here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. And I don't know where to place this blame. But I have to, again, fall back on Coach Tomlin.
Yeah.
So, beginning of the fourth quarter, it's fourth down. They're right at the 50, near the 50-yard line, and they punt the ball back. This was the drive. This is the one where they had ripped off 16 points, consecutive points. They're fourth down. I mean, they're still down by, you know, 12 points.
Like, decision.
They got to go score.
Horrendous decision.
To me, what it told me is that the Steelers team, despite how horrendously they had played to start the game and yeah. then flipped it, you know, riding the roller coaster, started playing great to pull themselves, you know, within two scores, from the very beginning, they thought they were better. That's why there wasn't that urgency. They thought they were the better team. And maybe they are, but they thought they were the better team on the field. And when you make a decision like that, you're maybe blindly relying on the fact that you're better on paper, but not actually playing better on the field that day. If I'm Mike Tomlin, you have to go for that on fourth down because
yep.
you weren't better than the Browns yesterday. Now, they may have, you know, if you play them eight more times, you beat them probably eight times.
I don't agree with that.
BT, they gifted them 24 points.
I don't agree with that. There's no way. Now I can't do any ratio in my head.
Yeah.
they are that, you know, if you win 80, they're that difference. There's not that stark of a difference at all. Matter of fact, when you look at balance,
mm-hmm.
both offensively and defensively, I don't think it's a reckless assertion to say that the Browns are better. And not just because they won last night.
Yeah.
But what the Browns do, they're more consistent in more facets of the game.
True. But you can't convince me. Especially with, well, I guess the circumstances are kind of tilted against the Browns because Denzel Ward was out and they, you know, they had some other issues with COVID. Their head coach wasn't there.
They didn't practice for a week.
They didn't practice until Friday.
A week.
They practiced on Friday, BT.
Come on, guys, on three, break, ready,
yeah, exactly.
break.
But they looked more. They looked more coordinated. To me, I thought the Steelers were the better team. But you can never go into a game saying we're the better team, especially in the postseason. And I felt like the Steelers felt that they were the better team, even when they were down by 20 something. And that's why you didn't see like this urgency or this care. Like, hey, we're going to come back.
Yeah.
But eventually they got close. But that one decision is the one you point to and say, you probably should have risked that one. Mm-hmm. If there was one that you were going to do, you should have risked that one.
To me, there's no probably. That is 100 times out of 100 opportunities, you must go for it there.
Yeah.
Tomlin, that was a monster gaffe. It was an absolute mistake. There's nobody that can convince me otherwise. And again, I like Mike as a coach. It's been communicated over the years on this show. But there are too many instances of either a lack of being buttoned up or looseness or an aloofness or a combination of all three that kind of creeps into their spirit. And, you know, whether it's Juju doing the stupid dance, I know he took it back, I know. But then Juju, and again, we didn't think it was an incredible vicious takedown of the Browns. But the fact that Tomlin warned Juju to stop dancing, and then he goes out and he says, well, it's the Browns, we're good, basically saying it's the Browns, we'll do what we always do to the Browns, which is show up, and as I paraphrase, but that was the inference, we'll wipe the floor with them because we're the Steelers and they're not. Like, he didn't learn his lesson. And, you know, to have that latitude as a player speaks to, at least, if it's week three, all right, going into a playoff game, after your coach just warned you, that speaks to a lack of, I don't want to say discipline, but regimentation that sometimes is missing from the Steelers. It is sometimes missing from the Steelers under Mike Tomlin.
But how
undeniable.
But that's Juju just being Juju.
But it was Antonio Brown. It's always something.
Yeah, but Antonio Brown was more, I mean, he was just nonsense. He was a clown more than he was like a detrimental
but
to the
Mike
team.
But Mike Tomlin let him be a clown. That's
the point. True, because it wasn't damaging to the team, and they were dominant with him. So it's a little bit different. The circumstances are, you know, put them all together and they tell a story, but individually, I think they're a little bit different. And Juju's got to answer. The problem with the whole billboard material thing that we talked about with Juju Smith-Schuster, and I did this for my minute today. Uh-huh. It's not that motivated the Browns. I know they were saying it after. Browns is the Browns. They were saying it afterwards. But, I mean, you're paid to be, you know, motivated, Cleveland Browns. I mean, you've got 26 years of ineptitude. You're going to be motivated in your first postseason game in a long time, your first viable chance to actually get deep into the postseason, even though I don't think they're going to get deeper than this past week. But still, it is what it is, BT. They're paid to be motivated. So I wasn't necessarily like concerned or upset or like, what are you doing, Juju? It's more that when you play like hot garbage, like the Pittsburgh Steelers did, when you're Juju Smith-Schuster, that what you did becomes a meme, right? And what you did becomes a caricature, and it defines you, and it becomes the narrative about you because your team, not necessarily you, but your team laid an egg after you talked nonsensical trash. And so here he is as a free agent. And if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, I mean, he's a good player. We like him, but I'm okay if he's not here next
year.
And you know what? The problem is once that starts to creep into the front office, all of a sudden you become a problem child as a free agent, and nobody wants that. Yeah. That's why you keep your mouth shut and just go play the game, right? I'm not talking about don't say things that are important.
No,
but
I got you.
Don't talk trash about teams unnecessarily.
Well, don't be disrespectful.
That's
don't be
exactly
so
right.
In competitive
That's exactly
environment.
Right.
Like,
you don't need to be. You don't need to do it. If you want to be disrespectful, do it on the field, right? Do it on the field. That's how the best used to do it. They didn't talk in the media. They didn't trash talk. They talk on the field and then, you know, back it up with their play. Yeah. That's the only way to do it. Do it in the media. It doesn't make any point because it ends up working against you unless you have a great day and the Steelers had a horrendous day. And now this is going to define – people will blame Juju Smith-Schuster for this, even though it's not his fault. They're going to blame Juju Smith-Schuster for this because he was not smart in addressing the media and his opponent coming up this past weekend.
There's a lot of blame to go around, and there's also some context within that blame. Mm-hmm. Injuries, for sure, to be fair to everybody.
Yeah.
You don't start 11-0 and then suddenly forget how to play football. There were some instances that infiltrated the team, and, you know, that's why football is the most atrocious sport out there. It happens, but any of that is offset by, and not to sound like a broken record, but it's all offset by the fact that the Browns couldn't go into their facility before a playoff game for almost a full week. I mean, that's all you need to know.
Yeah.
And they were razor sharp. And the other team that had every advantage in the book looked discombobulated, disinterested, and eventually almost disassociated with what was going on. It last night, as galvanizing and as impressive as it was for the Browns fans, that's how humiliating and disconcerting. Maybe I'd flip that. Disconcerting, then humiliating. It should be for the Steelers, their fans, as they begin to look to their future.
Yeah,
real quick, as bright as people think it is.
Real quick, BT, do you think this is it for Big Ben?
You know, the money is, you got the $41 million. If he retires, it's $21 million.
Yeah.
If you extend the contract, you can spread out the signing bonus, blah, blah, blah. There's ways to circumvent this. Do I think Ben is just about done? I do, because next year there's going to be a 17th game.
Mm-hmm.
So another regular season game.
Yeah.
I don't see it with Ben. When you have no running attack, right, and your quarterback is 38 years old, he better be Aaron Rodgers.
And immobile.
And immobile, exactly. Yeah. I think that Ben is pretty close to being washed up.
Yeah.
In terms of somebody who can win a Super Bowl, and the Steelers are about Super Bowls, not winning wild cards.
Yeah, he can have great days.
Or divisions and then bowing out in round one.
He can have great days. As we've seen over the even this year, he can have great days.
Mm-hmm.
To do it consistently, I don't think so anymore. So
right.
We'll see.
We're on the same page. But Browns fans, good on you. Enjoy it, Revel. You got a tough one coming up. We'll get into it later in the week. But awesome win. And what a start to that game. We won't see that for a long time. Long, long time. All right, coming up. Well, listen, Browns, they did their job earlier in the weekend. The Bills did their job. But were there a few things in the Bills' win that should give Bills fans reason to flinch? We'll get to that coming up next. TK and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. And obviously, lots going on. Browns fans, revel, enjoy, kick back, celebrate. You got some days to let the hangover go away and then get ready for another one, because that's what happens when you get to advance. Trust me, it's been a while for my team. It's been much longer for your team. Sincerely happy for you. Happy for Bills fans as well, and we'll get to that here. We'll obviously get to the Doug Peterson news. He's out officially as the head coach of the Eagles. Let's face it, you and I were all over that, and this is not a surprise.
You wanted it to happen. I kind of maybe co-signed slightly, like in pencil, not in ink.
Yeah,
I was co-signing
this. I wouldn't use the word that. I wouldn't say I wanted it to happen.
Well,
I thought that he earned the right to get fired.
Yeah, you're right. And I was.
I really, technically, I didn't want it to happen because I don't want the Jets to hire him, which is what I'm terrified of. But we'll do that later. But Peterson's out. Lamar kicks in the playoff door. He was great after a rough start.
Unbelievable.
Right?
He was unbelievable.
And we were slacking that first INT. He missed his target by a good 7-8 yards. Yeah. That was an ugly throw. Bounce back.
We'll get to that as well, but also why they should not ask him to do those things until they fix something that he does very egregiously actually wrong.
Okay, we'll get to that. And Russell Wilson completes what was a very, very strange season. We'll get to that later as well. So, you know, the Bills, a team that, you know, I've said on this show, I think the Bills can get to the Super Bowl. And if you get to the Super Bowl, you can certainly win the Super Bowl. I was largely encouraged by, you know, large swaths of the game over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Allen was anything but overwhelmed. He was terrific, throwing the ball, running the ball. Diggs' acquisition paid off again. You know, their defense is the one thing that does worry me. You can kind of score quickly off them. The Colts were down by a couple of the touchdowns fourth quarter. Dialed up some good stuff. Doyle was wide open in the end zone for that touchdown. They got the two-point conversion. I don't love the Bills' defense. I'm on record there. But how could you not like what happened up in Western New York? That was a great game, by the way.
Oh, it was. But here's the thing, man. The one thing that you notice about teams that have a chance to win Super Bowls is that when things aren't quite right, they still find a way through, right? Mm-hmm. And the Bills tried their hardest at the end of this game to lose it. And as much as we have lauded Josh Allen for his MVP quality type season, that play at the end of the game where he's scrambling, like, I want to be the hero. I'm got one hand on the football, like trying to, you know, get rid of a defender, and you fumble, and you're almost in the red zone, by the way.
Yep.
You fumble, you lose 17 yards, and thank goodness one of your offensive linemen jumps on the football and saves the game for you, because they almost gave it back.
They
almost gave it away. But you know, that's the urgency that I was talking about. Like, we mentioned this with the Steelers. There was no urgency. Maybe it was early in the game, so it wasn't as important in their minds, but you never know when a play is going to be the defining play. And when you give up a touchdown to the other team like the Steelers did on the first play and you have the football, then that's a defining play in that game. The Bills have been able all season long, but in that critical moment, a mistake, an egregious mistake that Josh Allen made by not just protecting the ball, taking the sack, do whatever, they were able to manage a way to get on top of it and conserve the victory. Because for a while, I was starting to feel bad. Like, in that moment, I was feeling bad for Bills Mafia fans because they were there in force as they were, you know, obviously excited to do. But they would have lost like that. I mean, that would have been miserable.
Not only that, and you talk about the fumble there, which obviously Josh was bailed out, but there was the interception negated by the offsides.
Yes.
There was the interception that was not an interception, because it was the right call, but it was almost a pick six. I mean, they obviously pulled that back properly. And can you imagine the play? The Colts got a massive break on the reception when I'm forgetting the receiver who it was obviously down.
Pascal?
Got back up.
Yep.
Fumbled the football.
No doubt.
They reviewed it. That was a horrendous. They got that one wrong.
Yeah.
100% they got that wrong.
I think they thought the defender's arm hit his back.
I didn't think that. Was it
Poyer? I think it was Poyer who punched at it. So right before he punched at it, his arm was extended like he was touching him. But he actually wasn't touching him. He waited to touch him until he was fully up. Because he was aware, you know what I mean? He knew that he was waiting for him to get up. As soon as he got up, he grabbed him and punched the football out and then recovered it. And so I guess they assumed, because there was no real angle, good angle to tell whether or not he was touching Pascal's back or not. Mm-hmm. And so, that was lucky. That was
Could you imagine if they got that one really wrong? But you imagine if Phillip Rivers completely, even if it's a field goal, force overtime, you lose from the Bills, or you get a touchdown, you lose. And can you imagine the Bills fans, talk about the Browns fans since the mid-90s, same with the Bills for a win. Can you imagine, that would be about as treacherous a loss that you could possibly deal with, because, you know, the Bills, I'm not going to sit here and say the Bills are necessarily destined for anything. You got to play better.
Yeah.
But I think we all know that if the Bills do play a little bit better, and I think that they will, that there's really no limitations to what they could achieve. I felt, and there are only a few teams that this applied to coming in. Obviously, Washington, all due respect. The Colts, to me, had a limitation that was and a ceiling that was much more visible than that of the Bills. The Bears obviously have a ceiling. But most of the teams that played over the weekend, you can conjure up enough enthusiasm and point to enough things that team does well. The Rams, if you get decent offensive play with that defense,
Defense is ridiculous. I read an article.
I've told you all year the Rams are good.
I just read an article about their defensive coordinator, and Brandon Staley. He's young. He's in his 30s. But as they were detailing the intricacies of why he does what he does, I mean, it probably only makes sense to someone who knows that language, you know what I mean?
But we'll dumb it down for us.
But he's basically saying, I'm building from the back forward. So we're playing cover two so that you can't, you know, beat us deep. So we're not giving up the big play. His general philosophy, and this is what sold him over with Sean McVay when he interviewed taking over for Wade Phillips this past year, BT. It's a great article in The Athletic if people want to go read it. He basically said 50-yard plays will beat you much quicker than 5 to 10-yard plays. And so he doesn't want to give up those 50-yard plays. So he plays a lot of too high, like two safeties up there, but it's not always too high. Uh-huh. He confuses it. And the only reason he gets away with it is because he's got a 1.5 man in one of his gaps. And that guy is Aaron Donald.
Mm-hmm. Right? And he's got one of the best corners in football.
And one of the best corners in football. So you can play man. You can play man with him and play zone everywhere else. It's actually really interesting how he devised a scheme that uses their talent, their highest paid talent, 22 and a half and $25 million, whatever it is they make, those two guys make, to make the number one defense in football. The Rams are good defensively. If they don't have any hiccups or false starts or whatever you want to call it on offense, because Jared Goff is limited,
yep,
that team could be dangerous also.
I've loved the Rams all year. I've really never wavered, even though Goff, I'm not saying I'm sitting there saying I believe in Goff, but I in totality, I believe, yep, now that Akers is back healthy, what he did running the football, it's a threat dual way. You got stars at every level on defense. They're well coached. Their offensive line is right again. For the most part, the Rams are going to be a tough out. They're definitely going to be a tough out for sure. So, all right, the challenge of a Monday is to make sure we squeeze it all in. So let's get the update now so we could do that on the other side. Five-star rewind. We'll get to that after Axe update. Peterson's out. The repercussions there. Does that maybe become a possible destination for Eric Bieniemy? And also, is it to salvage Carson Wentz, or is it, you know, did they make a decision there? We're going to try to stick with Wentz, and Peterson's got to go, or is it more to it? There's a lot to unpack, which we'll do. Lamar breaks through. Good for him. We'll hit the Ravens W as well. Axe update, and then five-star. Here's Rich. All right, Doug Peterson gone. We'll get to that top of the hour. What's next for him? What's next for the Eagles? We'll do five-star rewind in a moment. Right now, though, time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. Brought to you by our friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Very easy. Just drop us a tweet at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag AskThePros. Make sure you stick around. Listen later on. Teek and I will answer the best ones. So challenges, get us something good. We'll handle it on the air, and we'll give you some props before we bounce. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts. All your car care needs. Guarantee low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. All right, Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. Tiki, we've got great sound here, so let's just jump right into it. Doug Peterson stuff, top of the hour, out with the Eagles. Five-star, ready to go?
Yep, let's go.
Let's hit it.
Time to buckle in.
Hey, baby, let's go out there like a bunch of crazed dogs. That's some fun.
Here's your latest five-star rewind.
Hello?
Tiki and Tierney give you the best highlights from their top five games over the past weekend.
I know I'm going to get got, but I'm going to get mine more than I get got, though.
Here we come. It's a man's game now.
As always, we start on the Sunday night stage, and I don't care how creative you are, nobody, and I mean nobody, saw this one coming.
Baker looks it over in the shotgun with Chubb on his left hip. On second and 10, he's back to throw. Got a Britt coming in. Screen pass right side. Here comes Chubb. 35, 30, 25, 20. He's going! He's gone! Nick Chubb is in! Touchdown! Oh, 40 yards on the catch and run by Nick Chubb! And those last 20 are beautiful, isn't it? Because he just separates and goes.
That's like Ed McMahon sitting on the couch. All the color guys doing is laughing. Jimmy Donovan does his thing on the Browns Radio Network. That was the fourth quarter, obviously, about 12 and a half to go. And that made it 42-23. You wrap it up. Final score, 48-37, Brownies on top, team.
Yeah, look, we put this one in to bed early in our first segment, but I got to, again, give credit to the Browns. When the Steelers started to make a run, they knew exactly who to get the ball to, those two backfield mates. Nick Chubb and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt were special for the Browns just over the weekend.
No doubt about it. We move on. We go to Tennessee here. Lamar Jackson shook off an ugly pick early. We touched on this. But by the time it was over, officially put an end to that growing playoff narrative. 48 yards to the house.
Shotgun snap to Jackson. Jackson, deep in the pocket. Now he steps up, tries to run. He's got some space. 45, 40, first down, 30's being chased. 20, 15, 10, will they get him? Jackson dives, and he's in. Touchdown, Lamar Jackson. He had been pinned up all game, but there a 48-yard run.
Yeah, backbreaker. That's what athleticism could do for you. Brandon Gordon doing his thing. Westwood One Sports. Final score, 20-13. Lamar Jackson, first playoff dub, Teak.
Yeah, no, he was amazing. There's only one person in the NFL right now who can take an 8-10-yard sack and turn it into a 48-yard touchdown, and that's Lamar Jackson. But that changed the complexion of the game. But you also have to give credit to Don Martindale. Wink, the defensive coordinator, after those first 10 points that they gave up, 3 points for the remainder of the third, 3 1/4 quarters or so. Their defense tightened up and really shut down Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans offense.
And let's hear from Ravens head coach John Harbaugh on the importance of the win postgame.
That right now, I'm going to tell you right now, it's the number one best win. All right. Now, in perspective, it's going to be a top five for sure. But right now, for me, this is the best win ever. And not just because of what was at stake, but because of the guys and what it meant to our team and to our guys. You know, what it meant to all of our guys. It's just, this may be the best win I've ever been associated with.
Wow. Okay. There you go. Ravens taking on the Bills Saturday. That's going to be all sorts of fun. 8:15 Eastern. All right. Buffalo early 2.5-point favorites. As for Tennessee, should be a relatively quiet offseason. No change at head coach. No change at quarterback. You still have Derrick Henry. You saw just how much you missed Mr. Conklin, who's number one in PFF for the Browns, but they could have used him with the running attack yesterday against the Ravens, but they don't get it. Ravens move on. Tennessee moving on. Meanwhile, an ugly one in the Superdome, but you know Sean Payton's going to take it. Drew Brees, 6 yards out, gets a little separation from Chicago.
Brees pump fakes, looks, dances around, backpedals, throws it short. It's Murray at the 10. Murray at the 5. Murray sliding towards the goal line. That's a touchdown. Somehow he slipped through on that right side across the goal line to put 6 on the board. And the Saints have a 13-3 lead.
They would tack on the PAT. Final score 21-9. Let's be honest. Spurts of this game, pretty rough. Kevin Kugler doing his thing. Westwood One Sports. A lot rougher for Chicago when you drop what would have been about a 50-yard bomb from Trubisky that would have tied things up from 7. Come on, man. You got to catch that ball.
That was a trick play in the Saints. That was the one bad play that the Saints had defensively. Otherwise, they were ridiculously good. They held the Chicago Bears at 239 yards, and 90 of those, 90-plus of that, came on the last drive of the game. The Chicago Bears and Mr. Trubisky were inept for most of this game. That touchdown was so interesting if you watch it. Listening to it is one thing, but watching it, Latavius Murray is asked to block Khalil Mack one-on-one, which is impossible. So he tries to cut him. So he gets him about mid-waist, falls down. Khalil Mack's like, get out of my way. Steps over top of him. He gets up. Drew Brees throws him the ball. And he goes and scores a touchdown. I mean, from a visual standpoint, that's exactly what you do when you mess up a block. Get up and then save your quarterback.
And save face, as he did. So the Bears are done. Questions this offseason. Head coach, quarterback, GM. Allen Robinson's a free agent. The Saints, they will host the Bucs Sunday, 4:40 Eastern, New Orleans early 3-point favorites. Let's keep it moving here, Teak. We flash back to Saturday. Western New York we go. Josh Allen and the Bills handle biz. 35 yards to Steph Diggs, pardon me. Little pay dirt for Buffalo.
Allen, play fake, blitzes on. He throws, deep shot down the far right side. End zone, touchdown, Stephon Diggs. He led the league in catches and yards, and he comes up with his first postseason touchdown today. And the Bills expand their advantage 23-10, 14-10 to go in the fourth quarter.
Well, as we know, this obviously got very, very tight down to the final play, but good fun game. John Sadak doing his thing on Westwood One Sports, a 3-spot. The Bills take it. They didn't cover. Bills fans don't care. They got the win. And the questions post-game, focusing on the future of Philip Rivers, is this the end for the old gunslinger?
Whatever God's will is for me and my family, if it's here in Indy playing of the year, then we'll be here. And if it's not, I'll be on a sideline somewhere. I know where. I'll be on the sideline with the Bobcat, coaching the heck out of a high school football team down in South Alabama.
What do you think, Teak? Is he back?
I think he's going to be down in South Alabama coaching you know, high school team. There will be options for the Indianapolis Colts. Phillip Rivers was good at points this season. Other times he was bad. But, you know, it's a shame because it's a great career coming to an end. And I think he did his best he could, but sometimes he just didn't have the right people around him.
Yeah, and I mentioned before, the Bills will play the Ravens. They'll obviously host that game in Buffalo by 2.5. All right, how about this? Washington we go. New uniforms, new team, new conference. But it's still the playoffs, which for the most part means Tom Brady is still money.
Brady under center with two tight ends. Gets the snap. Spins to the right. Fakes the handoff. There's a running back block. He throws down the middle. Caught in strike. 5. Touchdown. Godwin. Heavily covered. Grabbed the ball at the 1. Crosses the goal line. On the line drive. Thrown inside the numbers by Tom Brady. Second touchdown pass tonight. That one good for 27, and the Buccaneers extend their lead over Washington.
That's how it sounded. Kevin Harlan, the great pipes of Mr. Harlan, Westwood One Sports. Final score, 31-28. Bucks move on. They were supposed to. They were double-digit favors, but a little shout-out to Washington, which changed perception, changed culture in one season. Shout-out to Washington.
Yeah, Zeke. Of course. Tom Brady did what he does in the postseason, usually not in the wild card round. He usually doesn't play well, but he played great.
True.
Over 380 yards and a couple touchdowns. And, you know, for Washington, this was a serious uphill battle But there's a potential budding love affair with Old Dominion's, the Monarch's finest.
Yeah.
Tyler Heinicke played great, and
kid's
he was
balling.
Exciting. He's a baller,
yeah,
man. Chase Young was in love with him on the sideline. I don't know what the future is for him, but he earned himself a look, even if it's maybe even in Washington. So we'll see. But yeah, this was the Bucks game from the beginning. It got closer than I think a lot of people thought it was going to be, but Washington, they're a tough squad, and they didn't lay down for a team against the Bucks who just kind of knew that they were the better ones on the field.
For sure. You know, we touched on Big Ben and his future. We just touched on Phillip Rivers' future. You know, no disrespect to Alex Smith, and we don't know his future. Obviously, no disrespect. We love Alex. But, you know, if he is the starting quarterback week one, he might even retire, as we know. But if he comes back and he's the starter week one, there would be, to me, a pretty easy-to-identify limitation. That's why I say no disrespect on what Washington can accomplish next year.
Agreed.
They need to be more dynamic. Now, I love what I saw from this kid, but if it's Alex Smith, I don't think that's the way you go, Teak. You agree?
No, I don't. I definitely disagree. I agree with you, BT. Alex Smith is not that guy any longer.
Mm-hmm.
He got old really quickly. Now, obviously, he's coming back off, I mean, the most horrific leg injury that any player's, I think, this might not be hyperbole, ever come back from.
Yeah.
I have to think of another one. It's up there.
Because
guys that's happened to have not played again. Napoleon McCallum,
Theismann.
There's been a few of them. They just haven't played. I'd have to think of a couple others, but it was horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a shell of who he used to be. He's great still, but he's not that guy any longer.
All right. Finally, in Seattle, a dud for Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks. LASD showing up, showing out. Put some points on the board as well.
They motion Metcalf to the left side, away from Ramsey again. Throw the bubble. It picked! It picked! Darius Williams jumped it, and he's going to house it! A pick six, a defensive touchdown, and the Rams extend their lead! Williams got Russell Wilson twice at SoFi Stadium in Week 10. This one came from the film room, and it goes the other way for a touchdown.
Yeah, he read that before Russell Wilson even threw it. That made it 13-3 final score. The Rams by a 10-spot, 30-20. J.B. Long on the Rams Radio Network, T.
Yeah, that was a great play by Darius Williams, BT. And it's all recognition, the play-by-play guy, who you just mentioned him.
J.B. Long.
J.B. Long, he called that one. The Seahawks always have DK Metcalf on the single receiver on the 3x1s. It's always that way. As soon as they flipped, they went to zone, and you see this play a couple times on tape. You attack it downhill, go to the house the other way. Russell didn't even look. He had no idea that this thing was about to go for a pick six. Great job by the Rams defense and Cam Akers, running back from Florida State for the Rams. He's the one that's getting it done the last few weeks for this Rams team. And
if he
plays this way, then they have a chance.
When he's healthy, he's a stud.
That's right.
We have seen that. It wasn't healthy to start the year. Then when he got hot, he came off that one great game, got hurt. Now he's back and he's doing his thing. He's an energizer, no doubt. So we get into the divisional round coming up on Saturday. We go from three games to two. We've got the Rams and the Packers on Fox at 4:35 Eastern. Green Bay by 7. That's the spread. At night, Ravens at the Bills, NBC, Buffalo, 2.5, they're favored. And Sunday, you go back-to-back Browns at the Chiefs and the Bills at the Saints. Kansas City laying 10, they're early big favorites. And the Saints -3 for that third matchup with the Tampa Bay Bucks coming up this season at 6:40 Eastern on Sunday at the Superdome. All right, Doug Peterson, gone. Was it the right move? What's next for him? What's next for the Birds? That's next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.